Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. One of the books, two more of the big show. It is Barry, Nick, Joel, and The Usual Suspects as we roll on. The Usual Suspects, of course, are you. We want you to be along for the ride. We've got college basketball covered. If you know anything about us, you know anything about the shows here, by the time we get on the air, everybody's already exhausted the bracket. So we will have plenty more to talk about. If there's something on your mind you want to chime in on, like Ben, we'll get you in, regardless of the longest wait times in the business.
Brandon had a question. Are we doing the for the last year for the tournament, we were on location for that Thursday and Friday to kick it off at Revelry.
Thursday, which we will be at.
And we did the streaming only.
Now, that was up for discussion.
Now,
with John,
we are not doing
A&M.
That. Oh.
But A&M plays Friday, and Nick and I were talking about it before the show. A&M plays the first game Friday, but I think it's like an 11 o'clock tip. So I think it'll bleed into our broadcast
the suspects
on Friday.
For at least a half an hour, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
But we're not streaming anything.
But I overheard Dell in the hall saying something like it's going to be a stream only for their show. So I don't know.
Okay. But I'm saying overall,
because they're going to be.
Hold on. So last year, because we carried the tournament, that is the reason that we streamed all of the shows. This year, we're not carrying the tournament,
right?
So outside of A&M games, it will be live terrestrial radio.
Okay,
that is correct.
That makes sense.
That is why Thursday. Yeah, we are doing it from Revelry, but it is over the air, and as you said,
no cursing.
That's why Dell and Raheel will be doing the stream only on Friday, because while their show is on, so is the A&M game.
Yeah. So how many curse words do you think Dell and Raheel say on the stream? I'm going to go with they'll say heck 3 times and darn it 5 times.
I don't know if they're big. I mean, do they swear a lot? Like
I don't
general?
Believe
no,
so.
No, I'm saying zero.
That's why, heck and darn it will be the worst things they say on the stream. I'm pretty sure.
Boy, last year. Whew. Talk about making sure you got your money's worth.
Last year was unprecedented.
Not to mention the porn that was being played on Blitz.
Yes.
The Blitz.
Not just with the porn on the Blitz. Yeah, some of the comments made and things they would do. And
Last year was pretty fun, though. I mean, I know you didn't like
it,
but if I don't have to censor myself and I can just say whatever comes to my mind, oh, yeah, that was so much more fun.
See, but doing what you do, it doesn't matter if that had a shelf life or not, because you could say, I do this every night when I do comedy. I cuss and I make fun of people and I do that. People in the business world go, so tell me about that time you did that remote broadcast where you didn't think it was being recorded and dropped all these F-bombs and made some pretty racy remarks.
Yeah, well, don't worry. I mean, when this whole radio thing comes crashing down around me and I have to go back to the private sector, I still have that looming over me if it's found.
So, I got it.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So I still have that. Somebody texted the show and said, how come nobody mentioned Ralph Waldman's passing away over the weekend? Did you have thoughts on that, Joel?
No, I hope he rests in peace and he lived a long and prosperous life.
I mean, you know, he was one of the premier Grand Prix motorcycle road racers from Germany. And he's going to be missed. He's a guy who, you know, his first win was in 91 and his last win was in 2000. So he didn't do much in his last 18 years. He was a hell of a racer, though.
Left his mark. And for those like Trey and others that are deeply enthralled in racing, people are going to miss him.
I love those that...
And especially since you had it up on your screen, and you're like, you Googled it, so you got info, and you're like, hey, Joel, what are your thoughts on that?
Oh, no, Mr. Also Been Reading the Text. It was right there.
I haven't been reading the text.
It was right there. Oklahoma barely won 18 games. I don't know what that means. Here's the
for the tournament.
Yeah. Now,
let's just get Ben out of the way on the tournament so we
okay.
can move on.
Okay.
Ben, what do you got? 11 seeds in the play-in game. What's up?
Yeah, I was just, I guess, got to clarify what the reason they do the 11s and the 16s and things like that. At least this is what they had told us from the beginning of it, is the 16s, the two 16 games are obviously the last four teams, or the worst four teams in the entire tournament. But the two 11 seed playing games are supposed to be the last four at large teams. So essentially the four worst teams that made it without winning the conference tournament.
But why are they 11? I appreciate the call, Ben. I still stand by it. Then why are they 11s? That's the part that I don't get. If they're that means that they're better than 12 through 16 in any of your regions. So they shouldn't be an 11. They should be a 15 or a 16 or whatever. That's the part that doesn't make sense to me. I don't know. Maybe I'm just too stupid. I understand the logic. I get what mm-hmm. you're saying there.
Right.
But at the same time, what you're telling me is that there are two teams that would be better than 12 through 16 in that bracket that aren't in the tournament. That doesn't make sense to me. Does not compute.
I think Charlie was getting tried to get that point out too, but it was just kind of in passing. But yeah, the bottom line is, look, it's all run by the mighty dollar as well, no matter how much they try and spin it and say it was the last four teams in or whatever it was. So.
Manny Fresh is saying, if you guys don't think Dell and Raheel cuss, you should listen to some of the podcasts. Yeah, I know. It was tongue-in-cheek, Manny. Yeah. It was all tongue-in-cheek. We're
always so damn serious around
We're around Dell and Raheel.
It screws us.
We're around them. In fact, I did a podcast with Raheel, and he was filthy. It was disgusting. I was embarrassed to do it.
You enjoyed it, didn't you? It was like watching a child grow up right in front of
you. I was ashamed mm-hmm. to be associated with something like that.
Now, let me see. Is your tongue inside?
Nope.
Pressing on your cheek?
Nope. Okay. Nope.
So, Rockets last night, we were talking about all the different things to pay attention to. Rockets, a 6 o'clock game against the Mavs. James sits, and it was no big deal.
I was going to say, what was the reason? Did you guys ever get a reason? I didn't see anything.
Sore knee.
That's mm-hmm. air quotes, sore knee. So,
after
it's just
the
day
game,
off.
Coach D'Antoni said if we really needed him and it was a pressing thing, he could have played. He will play tonight against the Spurs. But it was just a good part of the schedule to rest him on. That basically says the Mavs suck, so we're going to take full advantage.
Yeah, I was going to say, this has to be where they're just, all right, we're going to get ready for the Spurs, right?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want to play James Harden against the Mavericks either. I mean, I just wouldn't, even if it's not a sore knee, I don't think Coach D'Antoni is the type of coach to do that, but he listed him as a player that's not playing with a sore knee, and I'm okay with that, especially against the Mavericks. So the Spurs is obviously the more important game. And he's got to be ready for that. I didn't expect Harden to sit out for tonight's game, even when I heard that he wasn't going to play for the Mavs, against the Mavs.
I mean, the key here, too, is that earlier in the day in a game that you were watching, Nick, when the Warriors get beat by the Timberwolves, that basically sets the table for leading up to Sunday. It was rumored that he may or may not sit, but it wasn't definitive and they weren't going to put it on the injury report. When you see the Wolves beat the Warriors and know now you're up two games in the loss column, plus you have the tiebreaker, which essentially means you're up three games on Golden State with about 17 games to play, and you're playing the Dallas Mavericks, you should be okay. And he said, look, he's got some wear and tear. Everybody's dinged up at this time of the year. But again, the focus is how are we going to perform in the playoffs? And in order to perform at our best, we need our best players healthy. I think it's a smart move. I mean, Dallas, after Mark Cuban came out and said, essentially, without even hiding it, we're basically tanking. I said to friends yesterday, they're going to be competitive. They're going to come out with all kinds of energy early. And then they're going to absolutely crap the bed to make sure they don't win the game and affect their lottery chances. It's just what they're doing. Across the league, no matter how much Adam Silver says we're going to try and combat this, teams are going to do it because that's the way they've been doing it for years. And until you can fully prove it by having an owner come out and say something stupid like, yeah, we're tanking, teams are going to do it until they get absolutely punished for it because it's in their best interest going forward.
The Rockets are not necessarily notorious for doing something like that. Coach D'Antoni has admitted he's gotten resistance from James Harden when he wants to play, because James Harden is a guy that wants to play throughout the entire season as long as his body allows it. And if there's aches and pains and bruises that he has to deal with it, he likes to play through them if he can. So, it's not something that's going to be too common. Perhaps there might be another game or two as long as it's a team that's not as big as the Spurs or something like that. But, Yeah, I mean, it's not like it's going to be a reoccurring thing.
I think the best part about it is with the Warriors losing and now having lost two in a row, you didn't lose any ground as the Rockets when you lost to the Raptors because the Warriors lost. You gain a ground yesterday essentially because of them losing to the Timberwolves. So there's one extra game to be played. This could end up being two games. Or one, obviously, but at 1.5, it's a pretty good position to be in because you have to figure neither one of these teams are going to lose a lot down the stretch, and that's assuming that the Warriors get healthy. If they continue to struggle, they're struggling a little bit defensively as well. I mean, the Rockets are giving up less points a game than the Warriors are, and who would have ever thought that, as well as the Warriors can still play defense. So the Rockets, you have to like the position they're in, and they got to rest their superstar.
And because,
that's a great thing.
Because the Rockets are trying to combat injury while the Warriors are dealing with injury. Curry out, so that doesn't help them at all. And you saw a team that looks kind of disjointed when he's not in, as good as Kevin Durant is. Kind of like the engine that makes them go. Curry out costs them, and they're going to deal with that from now till probably into the regular season because he's got to get healthy and he's still got to play games when he comes back, and Harden's resting.
Do you think that D'Antoni sees that, sees Curry out, sees him injured, sees him banged up, and then looks at the bench and looks at Harden and goes, "Now you take a night off. I don't want that to be you."
He's intelligent if he does, to evaluate the situation, knowing full-blown and well. Look, if we're in a driver's seat situation where we've got a pad that big, why wouldn't I rest my guys?
Yep.
Why wouldn't I make sure that they're 100% or as close to it going into the playoffs instead of, you know, fighting tooth and nail, playing their tails off throughout the regular season, and then they come to the playoffs and they're just gassed and they're dinged up?
Yeah, I think it's easier to sit down players like Nene, obviously, and some of the older guys that are more like role players and are maxed out on limits during games. So, I mean, James Harden, you know, look, there's a lot of teams playing without their stars right now. Like we said, Curry wasn't playing. The Timberwolves were playing without Butler. So this might be a common theme for a lot of teams. I don't necessarily believe it will be common for the Houston Rockets, but I'm not mad at it if it does. You know, if it's a situation where they have to sit James Harden and he's not necessarily hurt, I'm all for it. So
when you go back and look at this team since the end of February, they had to play Minnesota, Denver, Utah, the Clippers, Boston, the Thunder, Milwaukee, Toronto, and in that stretch, they lost one of those games. Mm-hmm. I think they're through the hardest part. They still have some tough games coming up. There's no doubt about that. But to me, that was the tough part. Now, they end the season with Portland and Oklahoma City, so that'll be telling.
And both those teams will be fighting for seeds.
But both of those are at home.
Yep.
But that I think that now, having gone through that stretch and only lost one of those games, they face teams like the Clippers and New Orleans. And, yeah, those are teams, but they have Portland a couple times. But I think for the most part, this team has weathered the storm. They might lose one or two more games.
They've earned the right to be in
this
position.
They might lose one or two more games the rest of the year. It's crazy to think.
They've earned the right to be in this position. They fought, like, as you just mentioned, with all the things that you just said, that means if you want to sit a guy late in the season, you deserve to be able to do it. And here's the other thing on the point I was making earlier about the injuries. Oh, by the way, if you look at Boston, who's still trying to push forward and try and get the top seed, Kyrie Irving gets hurt again yesterday. Now he's out again. Now that hurts them for maybe a couple of games when they're trying to get it. That's what D'Antoni is using his freedom of being able to do so because of his standing to do, to avoid having to go through what Golden State, Boston, and other teams like San Antonio and Minnesota are dealing when their stars are hurt.
And Danny Ainge is on record saying that Kyrie Irving is probably going to have to manage his knee situation. Like, he has, you know, knee issues that are not necessarily career threatening, but he has to be, you know, he has to manage it for the remainder of his career. So
that's not good.
I mean, he's got to rest him when he needs to. So
that's wearing
tear. Not good.
Nope. All right. So we can continue to kick around some NBA. We got plenty more to get to. And if you want to join the show, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line, where you can call, you can text, or you can hit us up on Twitter.
If you're thinking about losing weight, I want you to stop what you're doing right now and listen to my voice, because I have a great way for you to eat healthy, eat good food, and also lose weight. It's called HealthyGourmet.com. I want you to log on and check this out. It's ready to heat and eat food that tastes delicious. It's good for you. And the best part about eating their meals is they're going to fill you up. I've been on diets in the past where I've had to eat two of those prepackaged meals just to get full at lunch or just to get full at dinner. Not with HealthyGourmet.com. I eat one of their meals, I add a piece of fruit, and I'm full until it's time to eat again. That's why I love the food that they make. Plus, it's delicious. And the really the best part, more so than the food tasting good and being convenient, is that I don't have to do any prep work. Dieting is so hard sometimes. You've got to do all the prep work. Your whole Sunday is gone because you're cooking and packaging meals. Man, don't do that. Log on to HealthyGourmet.com. Order your food for the week, and they will deliver it to your home. You don't even have to leave the house to eat healthy. How awesome is that? It's HealthyGourmet.com. Like I said, they've got the food ready to go. And the cool thing is, when you log on to the website, you can customize your meal plan. So if you've got certain things that you want to work into your diet, whether you're trying to go vegan or you need to eat gluten-free, maybe you're doing paleo or low-carb, keto, it doesn't matter. They have options for you that you can customize to meet your lifestyle and meet your dieting needs. The portion sizes fill you up. You customize the meals. And the best part is no commitments and no minimum orders. You just order what you want and what you need. And if you don't want to order it the next week, take a week off from dieting and then get back on it. You can do that with HealthyGourmet.com. Right now, I'm going to save you 10% when you log on to HealthyGourmet.com. Use promo code ESPN975. Save 10% off your order. And if you order $99 or more, they'll ship it for free. And speaking of shipping, get your order in before Tuesday at midnight. You'll have it in your home by Friday. Log on today and get started. It's HealthyGourmet.com.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, knee deep, hour number 2, 3-hour show. It is Barry, Nick, Joel, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, I have a bone to pick with you and your peoples.
Is it because I shaved and now look like a five-year-old lesbian?
No.
No?
I didn't even notice you guys, that you shaved, honestly.
I really didn't either.
You guys are dicks.
You want us to notice that?
Yeah. I thought I was like, look at all this manly facial hair. I better shave this all off.
I thought I was doing a show with Rachel Maddow for the first hour. That's all I know.
I shaved and I thought, good Lord, I am the ugliest lesbian I've ever seen. I was going to wear a hat today, and I was just like, no, Tyler will murder me on air.
I was going to say, you don't need us. Tyler will tell you God. That if you do.
But how do you know you look ugly to other lesbians? How do you know that?
It's a good point. Nick.
Because I've never had a lesbian try to pick me up.
Oh. Maybe they're just checking you out, and they were just too afraid to approach.
I hate it.
You know the Salisbury response to that, right?
What?
Well, I mean, you looked heavy, so they didn't think they could pick you up anyway. Mm. I'm just telling you, it's the dad joke.
Okay, what was your bone to pick?
Okay, so crazy schedule today, and running around and was racing to get here early and forgot my container for water.
Okay.
So Nick was doing some things down the hallway, and I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to run down to Barry's favorite spot, Subway, and I'm just going to say, hey, how much to sell me one of those big drink cups? I'll pay for it, and then I'll fill it up with water upstairs, and I'll be good to go.
Okay.
And your girl at the register goes, oh, yeah, that's $2.37. I'm like, I'm sorry. I don't want anything in it. I don't want the soda. I don't want... She's like, yeah. So anyway, regardless, we came together and we decided that anybody that wants a cup, $2.37. I'm like,
so she just wanted to charge you for a full drink.
Yeah, I'm like, you can keep the cup.
Did you tell her that you knew me? That might have helped.
No, I did not say that I knew
the lesbian. The lesbian on the fourth floor.
Middle-aged said, lesbian.
Hey,
yeah.
Do you know the lesbian that's always down here getting double meat?
Cussing. Yeah.
I'm a friend of his, hers.
The one that does the app to order.
Huh?
The one that does the app to order, because don't you do that now too?
No. I haven't been eating there that much lately, but it was always embarrassing to walk in and go, let me get a foot-long Italian. That's not how you want to order.
No.
Let me get a 12-inch Italian, double meat.
Even if you are a middle-aged lesbian, not a good way.
Not a good way to order a sandwich. You have to mix in some more specifics. Otherwise, they just go, what? And what do you want to eat, sir? So, yeah, I'm sorry they tried to charge you.
So I drove to the Starbucks where I get a coffee every day, and she was, like, more than happy to give me the cup, the straw, the lid, and everything. I said, don't worry about that.
Well, Starbucks should be like that. They make $1 million off each cup of coffee anyway.
But yeah, no $2.37 for a cup? Come on, man.
You should have asked for the water cup. You should have just said, can I get a cup of water? And then when they give it to you, be like, oh, can I get a bigger one?
That's some good advice.
I don't like you, Barry, but that was a good suggestion. There's
a article on MLB Trade Rumors where they talked about everybody that's out of options. Mm-hmm. And what that means is a player can't – they have 5 years of service time and are out of minor league options – less than 5 years of service time, out of minor league options. So they can't be sent down until they clear waivers. And what that means is if you have somebody in your organization on your 40-man roster that you want to send down to the minors – then they have to – other teams have a shot at them. So for the Astros, that's Max Stassi and Brad Peacock. Brad Peacock I'm not worried about.
He ain't going in.
They're not sending Brad Peacock down to the minors. Max Stassi is a guy that he could not have a home to start with and have to be sent down, and you might end up losing Max Stassi. I don't know if they're necessarily concerned about that or not, but it's a thing to keep an eye on as the season progresses. Mm-hmm. Some other names that I don't think you're going to see, but that I thought were kind of interesting. Jose Ramirez of the Braves. Where'd it go? Oh, no, I lost it. There was some. Chris Archer.
Okay, he ain't going anywhere.
No, he's not going anywhere.
It's
funny when you see a guy like that you feel like is more of a veteran. That's been around a lot longer, but you see a name like that pop up on the list when you think 5 years of service time. But no, Archer's not a guy. But now you say that, or I say that, and I say, yeah, some of these guys you're not going to see. Dan Straley's probably a guy that's not going to get sent down. But you see some of the names on this list, and then you remember that it was Cespedes that was just sent down, wasn't it? No, not Cespedes. The dude on the Dodgers, the guy that licks
you're
the bat.
Puig.
Yes, he was a guy that was sent down less than a year ago, so it can happen.
Yeah, he was struggling. Yeah, and
Kyle Schwarber was sent down. So these are guys. Some of these names, it's worth kind of looking over and seeing. There's guys that if they do struggle quite a bit, that team's going to have to hang on to them or risk losing them. And happen a lot, but it could.
Centeno, a guy that was he was out of options, so the Rangers claimed him.
I believe that's correct. Yeah. Eric Thames, Jonathan Villar, and Stephen Voigt on the Brewers. Three big names that.
Boy, Villar, when that trade was made, just went gangbusters for a while, impressing the hell out of everybody, and he's turned back into Jonathan Villar again.
Yeah. He regressed
to
his mean.
Maybe a more mature version of Jonathan Villar.
He regressed to his mean for sure. No doubt about it. There you go. Max Stassi and Brad Peacock are the guys out of options.
And we're not talking about a big deal here, but in terms of the way people are on social media, it's been covered, but the Astros did, on a day off today, make their visit to the White House so that they got there. And I believe the funny part was there was a couple things. One, that the president, when scanning the team towards the end of the press conference, went right by Altuve. And Altuve gave him kind of the stink eye, like, what are you doing? But then, of course, because the gifts were funny and I forwarded one, some guy was like, hey, he only did that because when he singled out the best player on the team, he shook his hand already, man. I'm like, dude, just relax.
People get sensitive about their president.
No question. They're
very sensitive nowadays.
Now, at least two players, including Carlos Correa, did not go.
Family reasons, they said, right?
Correa did not go. Beltran did not want to make the trip back. And
Giles.
Could have been more. And Ken Giles. Now, I don't know about family issues with Beltran. Correa.
Yeah, that's what they said. Correa and Giles' excuses were they had family commitments or family stuff to take care of, so to speak.
Well, that wedding is coming around.
I don't know about Beltran. But
I think Beltran just passed.
Yeah.
So. All right, so we got a little baseball out of the way there as well. We'll continue to roll on. We're at the midway point in the show, but we'd love to have you participate as we go. 713-780-3776, HR&P listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Second half is right around the corner. Don't go anywhere. Right here on ESPN 97.5. 13-month-old baby, proper-looking
lass. Stream us on your car Bluetooth with the ESPN 97.5 app.
You must do it.
Brought to you by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Mmm, steaks and Bluetooth. Intergalactic.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Calling all Owls fans, Rice Baseball takes on national powerhouse TCU on Tuesday, March 13th at 6:30 p.m. at Reckling Park. It's also Dollar Dog Night, so bring your friends and family, enjoy a great game, and get $1 hot dogs throughout the game itself. Tickets start as low as $12. For single game ticket information, call 713-348-OWLS or visit riceowls.com/BSBTicks.
Reckling Park is a beautiful place to watch baseball.
Never been, but I hear the same. I've heard that on several occasions.
And unlike football and basketball, Rice Baseball is the real deal, and they're always right there at the cusp to get into the College World Series. So you do see some pretty good baseball games at Reckling Park. It's a fun place to watch baseball.
Word.
The Woj bomb has just come out that Kyrie Irving's left knee soreness is no more than tendonitis. He's not going to need to miss significant time. So a lot of Celtics fans are breathing easy because people were jumping on that bandwagon saying that there was a lot of concern and worry now about his health heading towards the playoffs. So to clear that one up. And then, Barry, we talked about a lot of stuff, but really today, Nick, what is the proper term again? I'm looking for it is legal
tampering.
Tampering. Today is the first day of legal tampering in the NFL where you can go out and talk with free agents from other teams, but you cannot talk about the parameters of a contract. Sure, that's not
happening. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
That's not happening. But with that, so that teams can prove when they're talking to players that they mean business and they have the money to back it up, a lot of guys getting released today. A lot of big names. So I run down some of them for you. The Dolphins have cut linebacker Lawrence Timmons and, more importantly, Ndamukong Suh. Richard Sherman, who was cut by the Seahawks, already signed with the Niners. Adrian Peterson to be cut by the Cards. The Chiefs are going to cut Tamba Hali. And Orlando Scandrick wants to be released by the Cowboys.
Yeah. You think Peterson lands anywhere?
I really don't.
No?
I mean, unless he really wants to be a backup and not rock the boat. What he did in New Orleans was actually setting them back when you see what those two other backs with Kamara and Ingram were able to do. If he can go there and just accept a role as a secondary piece with a team, sure. I could see a team like New England picking him up on the cheap, going, if you had anything left in the tank, you don't have to do it full time, we'll take you.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be some teams that need help at running back, need some depth. And I think at this point in his career, that's what Adrian Peterson is. He's depth. He's not a guy that's going to come in. I mean, he had a couple of games where he rushed for, I want to say, 130, 150 yards. But that's about all he did for the year.
Right.
I tell you, another team that won't surprise me, and we mentioned them earlier, or we talked a little bit about them, but the 49ers need help at running back. And you could do worse than having him as your second or third option on that team as they're trying to rebuild and get better.
I'm with you, though. That team has set themselves up to be pretty good. Not maybe not great this year, but they're going to be pretty good for a while. They got Garoppolo locked up, but you had a guy like Richard Sherman. You know, they were better than a lot of people had thought last year, and they continue to add and not lose. So the Niners are definitely a team on the rise. Even with John Lynch, a first-time general manager, they're doing a great job.
After losing nine in a row, they won four, five, six.
Right?
They won seven of their last nine.
Yep.
After starting the season 0-9.
William Gay, the veteran defensive back of the Steelers, also let go. People wondering if the Texans will kick the tires on him. Look,
I mean, you've got old guys already, right?
Yeah, and I wrote an article. You and I talked about this earlier in the show, but I wrote an article for Sports Map on how important this first go-through of the draft and free agency is for Brian Gain. But one of the things he doesn't want to do is overspend for guys on the downside that might be a little slower, a little longer in the tooth, that aren't going to help you both now and long-term. Because the one thing that happens is everybody jumps in the first couple days of free agency, but when you jump, you normally overpay. And in the process of overpaying, you can cap string yourself for later in your in the next couple of years, which you don't want to do.
No, you're right. You want to see them make the right move, not just a hasty move or a move. Don't make a move just for the sake of making a move.
But we're both on the same page, though, that at least kicking the tires and checking out Nate Solder is the right thing to do. You just don't want to overpay.
Right. And that was the thing. There's a couple of guards and a tackle in Nate Solder that are out there that are worthy of spending some money on to bolster that line, and they need the help. I was looking at some rankings of offensive lines for 2017. Texans were dead last. Any of these free agents that you add that are in the top 15 or 20 of the overall free agents in the NFL are going to make this team better. That's where they need to be spending the money. So I know people are out there asking about a lot. Well, what about Sherman, or what about Earl Thomas? What about these guys? Man, just because they're available, and yes, you need help in the secondary.
And a name is a big thing that sells, but you got to perform on the field, and they're at a different point in their careers.
Yeah.
You know, like the Chiefs just cut starting safety Ron Parker. You know, there's a guy that doesn't have that sexy name that everybody goes, you know, I guarantee you we won't get any tweets or texts unless you're being a smartass that says, hey, are the Texans going to go check out Ron Parker? I don't think there's any stone that's going to be left unturned when it comes to Brian Gain and the Texans right now and their positions of need, which we've identified as offensive line, as the secondary. And the one thing that made me cringe and throw up in the back of my mouth a little bit, I was reading where they said they're going to consider bringing back Xavier Suafilo.
Oh
my goodness. Please don't do that to the fans this early.
If he's a backup or practice squad, okay.
He ain't going to the practice squad. No. But a backup, even still, I'm like, based on how they went through offensive linemen last year, he's a backup early on and becomes a starter in week three.
I was looking at the ways to the you know, we were talking about brackets and the math. Mm-hmm. You would have to fill out what did I tell you, a billion brackets a second for 300 years. To do every possible combination of the brackets.
That wouldn't take very long.
No, there's no computer
That's
thing.
That's why Warren Buffett does that perfect bracket thing, because it's just...
Did y'all get a chance to watch the O.J. Simpson thing?
We talked about it. We were both so mad.
I missed it.
I'm so mad because it ended up basically being where he was actually started talking in the first person.
Yeah. Like
he started talking about, well, and then I did this, and then he talks about the fact that there was a... where was the quote? So he says he got angry at Ron, presumably thinking he was there on a date with Nicole, and started screaming at him. Nicole came out. She told OJ to get off her property. Now the confession. Simpson loses the hypo and starts talking very clearly, undeniably, in first person, saying Ron in a karate stance. He said, you think you're going to kick my ass? So he's basically saying how he confronted the guy and had the argument with him. And then he says, I remember I grabbed the knife. And then he says, TMZ says, OJ eventually checks himself when he realizes he's talking first person and actually laughs. That's amazing to me that this can take place. And this was a interview done back in, 2006?
Yeah.
It was done back in 2006
Before
by Judith Regan.
Yeah.
By Judith Regan for Fox. And then it didn't air. And so now they're airing it. And it's basically him confessing to the world.
God, how do you hold on to that content for that long?
That's a good question.
I guess
why didn't it come out before?
Because if I was the guy who, you know, conducted that interview or recorded that audio or recorded that video, I would want that published. But although social media wasn't as prevalent at the time, at least Twitter wasn't.
True, but you know that was the number one story in the world
for a long time. It still can be.
And look at how big the miniseries was. Yep. Everybody. Now the good thing is because a lot of times we say, well, they'll take that secret to their grave and we'll never know. This kind of lets you know something that you might otherwise have never gotten the information on when he started talking in first person. That's why I wanted to see it. I saw some of the previews. I was like, oh, man, if the rest of it's anything close to that, we're not talking about Geraldo opening up like Al Capone's tomb and finding nothing. We're talking about some good stuff.
It says at the end of this article, by the way, because, again, we didn't get to watch it, but apparently he acknowledges dropping a glove on the property, which totally blows away the theory that the cops planted a glove. Which is how he got off, essentially. Remember, if the glove don't fit, you must have quit. They planted the glove. No, he admits, I was there and I dropped the glove.
Yeah, I think a part of it, too, was because it was bloody, and I think blood made the glove shrink.
Is that?
Yeah. Was a part of the reason why it didn't fit his hand. But it's funny, though, because after I realized I missed it, I turned on the TV, and you know that show Pawn Stars?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were selling the Bronco.
Really?
Yeah, because apparently... That was the most viewed vehicle, but and even in front of Kennedy when he got assassinated, because everybody was watching when Kennedy got assassinated.
Yeah.
That O.J. Simpson Bronco was viewed more on TV than that. So, like during the
chase.
How
much did it go for?
I don't know. I do remember that the guy, because apparently he used to manage, was it A.C. Green?
Al Cowlings.
or Al Collins, yeah. And apparently he was offered $500,000 and he denied it.
Wow.
And now he just wants it to pass the money along to his kids. So I don't know how much the Bronco eventually went for.
Yeah, I'm sure that thing's big. We were talking about the cars involved in the Biggie and Tupac stuff were going up. But yeah, there's no doubt that white Bronco is folklore for United States history.
And that thing looked like it was in mint condition. Like he's kept it garaged.
He turned down $500,000?
And that was years ago.
You gotta...
What a dumbass.
Really?
Well, what if he gets more now?
You know what, though? Well, he could. There are some sick puppies out there.
Some idiots. Yeah,
they were literally
right.
selling the Dr. Kevorkian van. You know the guy, the Right to Die activist who was like giving everybody the opportunity to kill themselves?
Yeah.
They sold that van. I don't remember how much, but that people, someone actually wanted to buy it.
You know, we talk about autograph seekers and all this stuff all the time. They said that the guys are making money, murderers, mass murderers and murderers in prison are making money hand over fist by people that want autograph stuff and souvenirs from the people that have committed these crimes. And so they're charging for it and signing for stuff while they're in prison.
It's a big deal.
It's crazy.
I remember reading about that. And I'm like, I get maybe you buy a John Wayne Gacy painting or something like that, but they're buying all kinds of stuff from these guys. That's just, I don't know. That's weird.
Really?
I don't want any.
Really creepy.
Yeah.
All right, guys, we're going to continue to roll on in just a minute. And please feel free to join the show. You know how to reach us, 713-780-3776. That's the HR&P listener line to call and text or hit us up on Twitter. Right now, I want to tell you about my good friends at American Wheel and Tire. I've been telling you about Mike and Tammy Gust and their location, 290 and 34th Street, just outside the Loop. American Wheel and Tire is more than just a wheel and tire shop, although they do wheels and tires better than anybody else. When you take your car in, if you've got a flat tire or a damaged rim, most of the big box stores and the national stores that you see are going to tell you, hey, you got to replace one, if not both, and you're going to spend a lot of money. When you take into American Wheel and Tire, they're going to tell you, we could probably repair one, if not both, and save you a lot of money. They even have stock rims and tires in their warehouse where they can do the work the same day. You don't have to wait for a shipment to come in, and they get your vehicle looking just like new, or as close as they can to get to it without having you to get through having to pay for replacement parts. That's the way they do business, because they want you to be going to American Wheel and Tire whenever you need wheels, tires, or anything for your motor vehicle. They're here. You're here. That's what they want to do. Also, check out AmericanWheelAndTire.com, where they can show you with pictures on their website some of the great vehicles they've customized in the Houston area. Yeah, a lot of the athletes in town that want that one-of-a-kind look for their vehicle go to American Wheel and Tire. It's because they have the best and they sell it for less. But they have lift kits, Kevlar coating, wraps, off-road accessories like steps, lights, and bumpers for your SUV or your pickup truck, all under the comfort of one roof. It is a fantastic, clean, brand new showroom. The waiting room is absolutely fantastic. Leather furniture, a big bay window so you can see your vehicle being worked on, and they communicate with you throughout the process. Check them out, 290 and 34th Street, just outside the Loop, or AmericanWheelAndTire.com. Tell them Joel Blank sent you by.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back to the show. Joel, Barry, and Nick with you until 4 o'clock. Yo, Adrian... This might be the best text or tweet of the week, but he said, I would definitely buy a Jeffrey Dahmer menu.
Dude.
That is so gross. Adrian, you disgusting man, you.
He is from Milwaukee.
Yeah.
He's from my hometown.
Oh, yeah.
And he committed all of those crimes while living in an apartment right by Marquette University, which is kind of in downtown Milwaukee. And it was creepy when people were like, again, wanting to see the refrigerator, wanting to see like when they were moving his stuff out. Come on, man.
That doesn't make any sense. So we talked about the OJ thing. One of the things that I watched, which I know surprised you, golf.
Yeah, I saw you tweet that. I was proud of you.
Dude, it was so cool to see Tiger back and in the hunt, and I was glued to the TV watching him. And then I can't help, and I see he loses by one and I'm thinking to myself, man, I don't know how much of the tournament you watched or how much on Sunday you watched, but I was pretty much in it after about the sixth hole. That's when I picked it up and I watched all the way to the end. And the fact that he lipped out a birdie putt on eight, and I thought, ooh, that's not, because he was kind of making a charge a little bit. He lipped out that birdie putt on eight, and then he bogeys, or he hits it into the, he hits it almost out of bounds on nine, and he's got to kind of scramble for par. And I thought, uh-oh, this could be downhill. But then they talked about the fact that, I guess, if you went through 13, 14, 12, 13, and 14 was kind of the stretch where he could make a run. He doesn't really do much until 17 when the pressure's on. He's got a birdie 17 and 18 to even tie. And he goes out and he birdies 17.
The putt on 17, just I think they ridiculous. Said was 39 feet.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, and they made
center
a,
cut, too.
They made just, a good point because, as you said, even on the front side, but on the back side, on the par three, he's got legitimately like a 12-footer. The par five, he hits the rough, so he's got a layup, but he still gives himself about a 16-footer that's makeable for birdie and just couldn't. But they said this was so good for him because it puts him back in the heat of the top pressurized situations on the final day to get him back accustomed to it. And he didn't fold.
No, he didn't fold. He putted well down the stretch, but I thought he hurt himself on 18 because you're expecting Tiger, and he's not the same Tiger. He's not going to be the Tiger with, you know, who pulls the driver out and scares everybody, and I get that. But he hits a 2-iron on 18, and it was the shortest shot on 18 of the tournament, and he leaves himself in a terrible position. I'm thinking at that point, you're one back. You're Tiger Woods. Don't you have to kind of go for it there?
But what does that tell you? He wanted to at least make sure he had a
shot.
He
was playing
and
conservative.
He knows, yeah, the way he hits a driver lately, it could go
anywhere.
It was
anywhere. All over the place.
Yeah, and if he's spraying it and he sprays it in the rough there, he probably has no shot. So he was giving himself at least a chance to go for it and doesn't look like a complete bailout. But at the same time, you're right. Tiger Woods made the name Tiger Woods by going at it balls out every chance he got.
And I don't claim to know what he carries in his bag, but I'm thinking, okay, if you're not going to pull the driver out, what about a 3-wood? What about a 5? I mean,
he hits his fairway woods really consistently well for the most part.
Yeah. That's what surprised me is, I mean, you really, you can say that, you know, he left himself too long of a putt on 18, but really he did himself the disservice with that tee shot.
He did.
And it was in the fairway. I mean, he got a fairway in regulation and all that. He was just so, he barely made it from the second cut to the fairway.
And don't get
me
wrong.
It wasn't that close.
If we're talking about Tiger in his heyday, I was at the Tour Championship when it was here, saw Tiger hit a 3-wood from like some ungodly number, and not only did he hit it the distance for the green, but he had so much height on it, which if you're a golfer, you know, it's hard to get a fairway wood up in the air like a short iron.
You got to tee it up high.
He got, I think it was like 252 out, and he hit a 3-wood that not only got there, but it almost backspun, and it sit, and it bit, and it was like 8 feet, and I go, that's just ridiculous. So Tiger in his heyday could do that. But Tiger right now is not the same player, as we all know. So as much as everybody's hyped up about this, he's still got a long way to go because what's crazy, you and I talked about this last week. He was favored going into the tournament this weekend.
Really?
To win it. And now the odds are going through the roof that by the time we hit April and the Masters rolls around, that he will be the number one favorite with bettors to win the Masters.
Wow.
And I will tell you this.
I wouldn't bet on him for the Masters, would you?
Really? I absolutely would. Because of the fact that there's certain courses, we were talking about this, that he knows like the back of his hand.
True.
There's no course that I think maybe aside from Torrey Pines, I don't think there's a single course in the world that Tiger Woods knows better than Augusta.
Okay.
He knows where to hit every single shot.
I agree. Okay, but the reason why I think he did so good at Augusta was because of what he could do off the tee that a lot of guys couldn't do. And I don't know that he can do that anymore. And he proved it on 18. So I we'll find out.
Yeah.
But it's a different Tiger Woods. I mean, he had the fusion surgery in his back, so he lost a lot of his power. He lost a lot of his ability to be able to turn, you know, which you know how important that is in the golf swing.
But you saw some of the slow-mo replays.
Building
that
torque.
Torque in his spine.
But it's not the same. It's not. I mean, he's also older. And as you get older, you're going to lose some of that. But it was, I tell you what, it was good for golf. Mm. They could not have asked for anything better than that Sunday.
It was good for sports. Because you know what? Some people hate the Patriots. Some love them.
Yep.
Some people want the Warriors to win. Some want them to lose. But guess what? They all watch. And that's exactly what golf needed. Whether you love them or you hate them, you agree with them off the course or on the course, all the other things, you're tuned in. I don't know if you guys saw this or not. The PGA website actually crashed yesterday.
Oh, really?
Because of so many people trying to watch what Tiger was doing, no matter where they were.
So he's one shot behind Paul Casey for the Valspar Championship, and then also named captain of the President's Cup team along with Ernie Els for the European team.
I mean, look, he loves those kind of competitions. So he was an honorary captain for the Ryder Cup, even though he wasn't participating. So kind of a natural as he kind of fades a little bit that they're still going to have him involved. Because again, for TV ratings, Tiger's there and he's co-captain. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to tune in and see that. I'm sure he'll have, you know, some fiery responses to some of the things going on.
Yeah.
So it's going to be fun. I love seeing him play. I think that's great.
It was cool.
And with the Augusta thing, too, it's not a really long course anymore. That's why I'm saying, too, you're right, because he's struggling with the driver. But because he knows every nook and cranny, he knows that if he just hits fairways there, it's more important than being super long. Because I was the other thing that's crazy to me, because you're right, with his torque and his spine and everything, do you realize he still has, like, the highest club head speed on tour, which was surprising to me with Dustin Johnson and some of the guys that really go after it. But still, at his age and with his medical history, to be able to get the club going that fast, dude's like, I don't know, he's rubbery. It's weird. All right, I do want to mention this, Barry. I don't know if you saw this or not, because you're the kind of guy that can break this down for me. But the Bills are apparently now, because they already dealt Tyrod Taylor and they're wheeling and dealing and maybe starting over again, they are now on the market and willing to deal their left tackle, Cordy Glenn. So I don't know where he sits amongst left tackles in the league.
I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know a lot about
Cordy Glenn. That's why I was going to you, because I don't know. Maybe we can look it up. But here's the other thing. As Lance and other people have said, if you're a team and you've got a good left tackle, but you're willing to trade him, that normally says he's probably not that good of a left tackle.
Yeah, that's probably a good way to look at it, if they're willing to trade him. I can tell you, well, I'll tell you what, I'll do a little bit of, I'll try to get a grade on him at least, and you can kind of gauge it from that. But here you go. He grades out at about a 68 among left tackles.
Which is what?
Or among tackles in the NFL. That means that he is middle of the pack. I mean, if you're looking at like the top 50 tackles, he's in the bottom tier of that, of the top 50. Don't keep in mind, there's 32 teams in the NFL. There's two tackles on, you know, so he's a starter, but at the bottom end of those starters. And I think if you're the Texans, it's not a guy you want. You need help.
You need an upgrade.
You've got plenty of guys that are average or below, and I think that's about what he is. They've got to do better than that guy.
Yeah, no question about it. All right, we got two in the books. 1 hour to go in the big show. 60 minutes still on the clock. That means still plenty of time for you to get involved. 713-780-3776. HRNP listener line, where you can call, text, or you can hit us on Twitter, where it's at The Producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at Barry is Funny. Right now, I want to tell you about my good friends at Gallery Furniture. I've gotten all my furniture at Gallery Furniture since I've been in Houston, Texas, and there's a lot of reasons why. Because they're going to have fair prices. They might not be the lowest rock bottom prices, but if you want quality furniture, you're not going to get it for, you know, just a couple cents on the dollar. You're going to pay a little bit, but you're not going to pay too much. Brandon from our staff recently went to Gallery Furniture, wanted to check out what they were all about, because he had been pricing furniture around town at different furniture stores. He not only found the same furniture at a better price, but Gallery lived up to everything they said they were going to do. He bought that day, they delivered that night. There was no back order slips, where at the other furniture stores he found what he was looking for. There was a 3 week to 6 week back order before he could even think about getting that furniture delivered, and they were going to charge him for that as well. The other thing is that it's solid wood, American-made furniture, whether it's leather furniture. Stickley is one of the brand names that they really swear by, because it's quality, it's well-made, and it's made here in the United States of America. That's just all the things that Mac does to try and make sure that he knows he's committed to you. You be committed to him. As long as you're both in Houston, he's the place to go. Three locations now across the Houston area. It's Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland. It's the Galleria location on Post Oak. And, of course, the mainstay I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker both ways, where Max sits at the front door. And he will tell you every single time, Gallery really will save you money.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.